their salvation. You know that? They're always sad and depressed. And you ask them if they're on their way to heaven, and they'll say, yeah, I'm on the way to heaven. But by looking at the expression on their face and how they conduct themselves, you'd never know it. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved. Praise God. Amen. We want to start looking at a new series tonight. The Lord's been laying on my heart to go in this direction. We're still preaching on Wednesday nights on our practical commitments, and we're going to continue that Wednesday night. But I want you to understand something. We are in a war. Do you realize that? We are in a war. If we weren't in a war, this house would be full. If we weren't in a war, then all of our children would be saved, and there wouldn't be any turmoil in the United States of America. Everything would be wonderful. But we are in a war, but we're not in a war against flesh and blood. We're not in a war against political parties. We're not in a war against other nations. And the ultimate reality of it, we're in a war against the devil and his army. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. As the children of God tonight, we should be able to, number one, recognize the devil. Number two, exercise authority over the devil. And number three, help deliver those that are being bound by the devil. I'm not one to claim to be an expert on this, but I know my Jesus is, and I want to share with you what he said about it. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 11, verses 20 to 23, and stand with me, please, out of respect for the Word of God. Luke chapter 11, 20 to 23. The Word of God says this. This is Jesus talking. But if I, with the finger, everybody say the finger, hallelujah. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusteth and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. And I want to preach to you tonight again a sermon entitled Recognizing When You're at War. Pray with me, please. Father God, I understand the seriousness of this hour tonight. That Earl Church of God is a church that's at war. God, we got loved ones that are a heartbeat away from eternity and going to hell. God, we've got people tonight that are dealing with physical calamities, Lord God. They're dealing with marital issues. We got people that are dealing with addictions, God. And Father, we know that it is the thief that cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. You've come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And Lord, I ask you to touch me with that anointing that brings abundant life. Touch me with that anointing that sets the captive free, that delivers the prisoner that's in bondage to sin and Satan tonight. And Lord God, I pray that you would deliver us and help us to be the church that you've called us to be. And God, we'll be ever careful to give you the praise and glory and honor for it. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen, amen. Shake three hands that are close by. Tell them you're glad to see them in God's house tonight, or wave at them. Some of you might have to wave. Love you, brother. Praise the Lord. Amen. There are four things these verses of scripture we read tonight teach us that we're going to look at. The first thing that we want to see tonight is that God's kingdom is revealed by power over the devil. The whole concept of the world today is that you can be saved and still live in sin, but that is contrary to the Word of God. Amen. Jesus said that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So if you have a little sin in your life, you are in danger of hellfire. Though he said to get out the leaven, and then you shall have a pure loaf. Hallelujah. He talks about the importance of being pure in our thought life and being pure in what we listen to and where we go. I believe Solomon put it this way. It is the little foxes that spoil the vine. So sometimes we've got to deal with sin, but sometimes we've got to deal
with the devil. The Bible says that the devil walketh to and fro throughout the earth, seeking whom he can devour. And I believe the devil will test us from time to time. But if we resist him, as we're going to look at tonight, we're going to have victory over the devil, and we will help those that are among us who are battling with the devil to get victory too. Look with me first at verse 20 of Luke chapter 11. It says this: "But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils." Have you thought about that concept? I know you've read this passage many times, but think about that. Here is Jesus saying, basically, I'm only using a little bit of my power to have authority over the devil. Hallelujah. Just imagine if he used his whole hand, the whole kingdom of Satan would come crashing down. Hallelujah. He said, "But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you." One of the signs that we are walking in the power of God is victory. Victory, hallelujah, in Jesus. Victory in the blood. Victory over our emotions. Victory over our sicknesses. Victory over financial difficulties. Victory over the foes of God and the kingdoms of darkness that are fighting against us in our marriages, that are fighting against us in every aspect of life. We are to be a church triumphant, not a church struggling. The kingdom of God is signified and identified by having power over the devil. But when was the last time you cast out a devil? When was the last time you might not have seen somebody get delivered by them kicking and screaming on the ground and spitting and all the things they say go along with exorcisms? But when was the last time you got victory over a depressive thought? When was the last time the devil tempted you to do something you know was wrong and you said no and you resisted him and he fleed? Beloved, I want to tell you, as the body of Christ, we need to be exercising our God-given and blood-bought authority over the devil, and we need to set him to flight. Now, a friend of mine put in Facebook not too long ago, he said, "You'll never get victory over the devils you enjoy playing with." You can't get victory over a devil of lust if you enjoy lusting. You can't get victory over a devil of gambling if you enjoy gambling. You can't get victory over all types of sin if you enjoy engaging in it. We need to understand, we've got to learn to hate. The Bible says we're supposed to even hate the garments stained with sin. When I got saved, hallelujah, one of the first concerts I saw when I was in the world was Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses in Jacksonville, Florida. And I love that shirt. But you know, when I got saved, it was no problem for me to throw that thing away. As a child of God, I had no business wearing it. I didn't keep my rock and roll albums. I got rid of them. Why? As a child of God, I had no business associating in that. And I believe one of the problems we have while the church gets defeated is we open the doorway for Satan and we invite him to come in. Amen. And then we wonder why things are in a mess. But Jesus said with the finger of God, he could cast out devils. And I want you to realize, beloved, you've got power over the enemy tonight. Look at your neighbor and say, "You've got power." Now I want to share with you some scriptures that show you the power we got. Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Notice what Jesus said here. Hallelujah. He didn't say, "I said this," but he didn't say, "I did it," but look at what he said. He said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Now, we know Revelation talks about war being between Michael and his angels against Satan, and that Satan was cast out of heaven. Here comes Jesus. We just read about it. It's just a little bit of power Jesus was using to exercise authority over the devil. Beloved, I want you to understand that Jesus has authority over Satan. A lot of people would want you to believe that Jesus and Satan are brothers. No, they're not. He's God in the flesh. Satan's just a created being like you and me. Jesus always has been, always will be. And oh, hallelujah, he will not change. One day the devil's going to have his part in the lake of fire, but Jesus is going to be reigning on the throne as King of kings and Lord of lords forever and ever. Can you give him praise and glory? Hallelujah. Look with me at Jude chapter 1, verse 9. You talk about the power we have over the enemy. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Hallelujah. Michael could rebuke the devil with just a word. Hallelujah. You either invite the devil in with a word or you send him running with a word. James 4 verse 7. James 4 verse 7 is a familiar passage of scripture. It says, submit. Everybody say submit. Yourselves therefore to God. Until you submit every area of your life to God, you're not going to have any power over the devil. Until we submit this church to the power of God, when our Sunday morning Sunday school, Sunday morning worship, Sunday night preaching, Wednesday night our prayer meeting, everything must be submitted to the power of God in order for us to have victory over the devil. Hallelujah. Resist. Say resist. Resist the devil and he will flee with you. When the devil's coming trying to make you mad, you resist him. No, I'm not going to get mad. When the devil's trying to get you to do something you don't want to do, or you know it's contrary to the word of God, you don't entertain that thought. You say, "Get behind me, Satan." Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love the story of Joseph. And how Joseph went through all of his trials and tribulations. It would have been easy for him to compromise and lay with Potiphar's wife. But when the temptation came, he ran. When you and I are faced with temptation, we've got one of two choices. We can either sit down there and say, "Oh, I got grace. I can lean on grace. God made me this way. I've got to enjoy it." Or we can say what the Bible tells us to do and flee. Youthful temptations, which war against the soul. Now, we are not to use grace as an excuse to continue in sin. Paul said in Romans, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." Don't use the excuse that because you're under grace, you have a right to sin. That because you're under grace, you have a right to compromise. Hallelujah. The Bible says that if judgment begins with the house of God and a righteous man shall scarcely be saved, what shall then be of the sinner? We shouldn't be looking at the judgment of God as a wonderful thing, hallelujah, where we're just going to have a party and everything's going to be well and good. We ought to tremble when it comes to the fact we're going to stand before Almighty God and we give account for the things that we do in the body. Hallelujah, you need to give Him praise and glory. But understand what this scripture says. He says, "If I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you." God's kingdom is a kingdom of order. But the devil's kingdom is also a kingdom of order. Do you realize that tonight? Do you know that the devil is ordering his troops and they're going and they got a purpose and they got a mission? We know John 10:10 well, that the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. We need to understand and we need to ask ourselves tonight, what part of my life is in chaos? What part of my country is in chaos? What part of my community is in chaos? And when we see the chaos, we need to understand, hey, there's a warfare going on. Not just say, "Oh, well, that's just the younger generation. They're going to find it on their own. Oh, that's just them. They're going to find it." No, we need to understand and realize we got a devil that's trying to destroy our families. Now look at what Jesus goes on and says here in verse 21. "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace." When you're in control and you're submitted to the Holy Ghost and you're doing what God's called you to do, everything's all right. Amen. How many of you know that it's when you open up the door for the adversary and allow him to come in, that's when trouble starts? Now the devil's going to come and he's going to tempt you, and the devil's going to come and he's going to throw things at you to get you to backslide, to get you to give up, so that he can get dominion over you and bind you. But I want you to realize this tonight. You have to make a choice. Many people are defeated today simply because they haven't decided to sell out to Jesus Christ. They're still in the valley of decision. Joshua put it this way, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And we need to make that decision. That's a good thing to pray. Every time you wake up in the morning, you need to say, Lord, as for me and my house, we're going to serve you. Lord, my eyes are going to serve you. Lord, my hands are going to serve you. Lord, my ears are going to serve you. Hallelujah. Lord, my mouth is going to serve you. Everything I've got is going to serve you, Lord. And I'm going to be your vessel. Now, Jesus said this. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Look at Luke chapter 11, verse 22. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, there is how you know that the war begins. The devil's going to come. Some devils you're going to be able to beat. Amen. There are some things that used to tempt you and some things that used to bother you. They don't bother you no more. But there's going to come some things that's got your number. There are going to come some things that know how to push your buttons. There are going to be people that's going to come inspired by the enemy and they're going to whoop you. Notice what happens. When a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him. That's the key you need to realize. There are some Christians in the body of Christ, the enemy has come upon them, but he ain't whipped them yet. They fighting a fight, the enemy's doing everything he can to beat them down and to get them, but he hasn't totally overcome him. His goal, like I said, John 10:10, to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to get you bound. He wants to put you under. He wants you to quit praying. He wants you to quit reading your Bible. He wants you to quit coming to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Why? So he can steal what you got. He said, when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him. Notice how the devil operates here. He don't just bind you up and then throw you in a pit and say, that's it. Notice what he does here. First of all, he taketh from him all his armor wherein is trust. We trust him. If you trust in praise, he'll take your praise. If you trust in prayer, he'll take your prayer life. If you trust in Bible reading, he'll try to take your Bible reading. He's getting your armor. And that's one thing that I recognize when I'm getting into spiritual battle. There's sometimes I'll pray and I'll intercede and I'll be strong in intercession. And then there comes times where I'll just praise the Lord and I'll give him thanks. But you've got to be a complete child of God. You've got to intercede. You've got to give thanks and you've got to continue. Hallelujah. And where you have begun. Many Christians start out well, but they allow the enemy to start stripping them of their spiritual warfare. Of their armor. And the devil is able to get victory over them. Look at what it goes on. Once he gets your armor. Once he's whooped you. Then he divideth the spoil. Go back to that previous verse, brother. He divideth his spoils. Do you realize you have more than just your soul? Do you realize that your family is a gift from God? The devil wants to divide them. Do you realize that your possessions, your finances, your health, all of it is a gift from God? The devil wants it. But to get it, he's got to strip you of your armor. He's got to strip you of your will to fight. He's got to strip you of your will to praise. He's got to strip you of your will to live right and your will to walk right. And the devil's doing it to the church left and right, and they don't even realize it. They've given up in the name of entertainment. They've given up in the name, hallelujah, I'm preaching right now, whether you admit it or not. They've given up right now, hallelujah, in the name of what feels good and what looks good and where they want to go and what they want to do. But I want to tell you tonight, they need to realize there's a devil that's stripping them and robbing them, and he's going to, in the end, kill them and laugh at them while they're with him in the lake of fire. We need to make sure we don't give up. Hallelujah. We need to make sure we don't quit. Look at what verse 23 says. want you to realize something tonight. I touched on it. He that is not with me is against me. There is somebody that told Oprah Winfrey, I read it the other day, you don't have to be saved in order to get to God. He's not with Jesus. Anybody that tells you don't have to be saved to get to God, that's false doctrine. Yeah. He's claiming to be a preacher of a big, big church. Anybody who claims to tell you that you can live any way you want to live and go to heaven, that's not somebody that's with Jesus. Somebody that will sit down there and tell you, oh, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to pay my tithes. I don't have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't have to be sanctified. I can do what I want to do. Beloved, they're not with the same Jesus that's recorded in the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in the book of Revelation. And that's all throughout the Word of God. You need to run from that individual. Notice what's happening here. He that is not with me is against me. That's not just another opinion. Jesus said they're antichrist. Now, that's where we got to be careful out. There's a lot of people say, oh, well, they're entitled to their opinion. Not if they're filled with the devil. There's a lot of preachers that we entertain that are being led by the devil. There's a lot of teachers that we are entertaining as a church because we want to be objective and listen to other people's opinion. If they're not with Jesus, they're antichrist. And we need to run from them. Now let me share with you a couple of ways God gives us victory. Matthew chapter 10 verse 1. And when he had called unto him. Do you realize you're called tonight? Amen. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been called. Notice what Jesus does when he calls you. He doesn't just call you and say, okay, you're going to go up against this spiritual adversary called the devil, so you have a good one now. I'll see you when you get to heaven. Now notice what it says here. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits. That word power there is the word dynamos, and it means the ability to move something. Hallelujah. And it means to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Now, what's the power that Jesus gave to his disciples? Well, you got to look over a little bit further. We're not going to do it for the sake of time tonight. But I want you to know when the 70 came back, they came back rejoicing, saying, Lord, at thy name, even the devils are subject to us. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, there's power in the name of Jesus. And we got to recognize that name and use that name. Go ahead and give him praise. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, I want you to realize the power of Jesus tonight and remind you of that. Matthew chapter 15, verse 30. The Lord gave me these scriptures right as we were getting ready for service. Hallelujah. This is what I want to see happen here at Earl Church of God. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. What do we have to do in order to exercise our authority over the devil? We've got to come to him in prayer, and we got to cast our needs before him. Well, that means we've got to call out to him in prayer. God, my marriage needs help. God, my finances need help. Lord, my body needs healing. Now, God, my church needs help. We need to call out to God. Our needs, these people didn't just say, well, Jesus wants to heal them, he can. No, they actively picked up their loved ones in their arms, took them. Some of them probably traveled many, many miles and came to Jesus and laid them at the Lord's feet. And then he healed them. The problem is, we're shutting our doors so people can't come. Amen. Whenever they come, we on a time schedule so God can't move. We had a place where we got to say, well, it's got to be this, this, and this, or else, you know what? We just ain't having church. Beloved, I want to tell you what. I want to take the shackles off of Jesus tonight, and I want to set him free, hallelujah, where he can do what he wants to do in our services, and he can heal those that are sick in their bodies, and he, oh, glory to God. I want to bring every need that I've got to Jesus. I want you to bring every need that you've got to Jesus, and I want you to realize tonight that Jesus is a gatherer and not a scatterer. Jesus is a healer, not a breaker. Jesus is somebody, hallelujah, who wants to meet your needs. Look with me at Luke 11, verse 23. One more time. Luke 11, 23. He that is not with me is against me. Anybody that's against this book, right here. Anybody that preaches against this book. Anybody that teaches against this book. I don't want nothing to do with them. I don't want to hear them. I don't want to go see them in concert. I don't want to support their ministry in any way, shape, or form. But those that are for that book, I don't want to be 110% behind them. The day the Church of God out of Cleveland, Tennessee quits following this book is the day Ronald Lee says adios. We got to follow the book. But notice what he says. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. Jesus is gathering. We need to be careful that as a church, we're gatherers, not scatterers. We want people to come in here. We want people, regardless of their background, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of what they've been through in life, regardless of their faces. We want them here, bless God. Why? We want them saved and sanctified. I'm not just saying anybody come like they want to come and stay that way. No, they come, we're expecting them to be healed. The Lord laid it on my heart in Sunday school this morning, and I've been seeking him about it. Turn with me, brother, if you will, to James chapter 5, verse 20. I want to share that with you again. James chapter 5, verse 20. Hallelujah. Beloved, do you realize that we have a job to do here? And it's not just for us to go to heaven. And it's not just for us to hold on and we make it. We're supposed to be saving souls. I got an office full of material that we need to be passing out because we want to see people saved. Notice what it says here. Let him know that he which converteth, the word converteth there means you change their direction. Hallelujah. Why should you keep telling your children to come to church and to get right? You want to change their direction. Why do you keep telling them that what they're doing is sin and it's going to send them to hell? You're trying to change their direction. We so worried about offending them, we're offending God. Notice what it says. Let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. Hallelujah. How many of you want to see your loved ones saved? Amen. Then do everything you can to change the direction that they're going in. He shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude.